May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. If you would turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, in verse 8. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. I love the NIV. It cleans things up so nicely. I checked the Greek, and it definitely does say, and I'll dig around it and pour manure on it. Okay? Not quite exactly the same thing as fertilized, but you got the idea. Anyway, he's going to pour manure on it.
That's how they fertilize back then.
That's right, exactly.
That's how they fertilize now. Sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, so I got curious. You realize we have a 3-year lectionary, so every third year you're going to get this story. I went back and I did some looking, and I did not preach on this 3 years ago. I think it was Father Chris who was scheduled to preach 3 years ago. I don't know whether he preached on this passage or Exodus. Anyway, 6 years ago I had this. 9 years ago I had this. And I didn't go back all the way 36 years ago. But anyway. But
do you save all your sermons?
I have all my sermons. Absolutely. I keep them all. Yeah. Anyway, so I've preached on this probably at least 12 times, maybe over 44 years of preaching. So anyway, so yeah.
I'm surprised you weren't tempted to do the burning bush.
I know. I prayed about it, but I believe the Lord has a word from Luke chapter 13 today. So that's why I went with this. But I'm going to tell you a story that you've probably heard from me before, but I like it. It's a cute story, but it's got a good message to it. And that is, there was a little bird. It was in the middle of the winter, and Mama went out to find a worm. The little bird was trying to get out of the nest, fell out of the nest, and fell into the snow. Okay? And a big old cow came walking along, walked right over the top of the bird, lifted her tail, and dropped a huge cow patty right on top of the bird.
Oh, my God.
It was, though, nice and warm. But a fox saw this, and the fox comes running over, digs through the cow patty, pulls the little bird out of the cow patty, takes some snow, and very carefully cleans the bird and makes sure that it's all the feathers are just right, and then picks it up and goes and eats it. Now, the moral of this story is, those who drop manure on you are not necessarily intending to do you harm. And those who pull you out are not necessarily intending good. Okay? All right. Well, I'll dig around it and I'll pour manure on it, the man says. The man is Jesus. He's going to dig around in our lives. And he's going to pour manure on it.
Yep.
I got one amen on that one. But you see, Jesus, according to St. Paul, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding on our behalf. And he's saying, wait a minute. Don't give up on this one. Don't give up on this one. Let me do some work on this one's life. This one needs a little bit of extra, so I'm gonna dig around and I'm gonna pour some manure on, and eventually, I promise, this one's gonna produce some fruit. And that's good news for all of us. And you say, yeah, but you know, dumping manure? Well, there's some other options. Think about it. There's the, you know, silver and gold precious metals. In order to purify silver or gold, you stick it in the fire and get it good and hot. And then you pull it out and you bang it with a hammer and beat all the impurities out of it. And then you dump it in cold water. And then you pull it out and you look up, more fire. And then you can pull it out and beat on it with a hammer. You know, that sounds so much better than having manure dumped on you. Of course, there's also the metaphor of the wheat. Well, you take the wheat and you bring it into the barn and you beat it as hard as you can, and then you shake it and you get all the chaff on it. Oh, there's still some more. Beat it some more and shake it some more. And okay, manure is sounding better by the moment. But the truth is, none of us really want to go through any of this. And we tend to want to try to avoid it. And we hide from it. And too often we don't like what we hear. But God is calling us to repentance. About, 25 years ago, I was preaching at Church of the Redeemer. And during the season of Lent, the Lord put it on my heart that I needed to preach a series of sermons about repentance, that the lessons really lined up with it for all of the Sundays during Lent. So I started on Ash Wednesday, and I started preaching this series on repentance. And this was one of them. This passage was one of them that year. After that third Sunday in Lent, two members of the vestry pulled me aside. One of them said, "You know, Father, I left the Baptist church because I got tired of hearing, 'Repent, repent.' I really didn't come to the Episcopal church to hear that." And I said, "Do you bother reading the gospel? What is the first word out of Jesus' mouth when he begins his ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." "Yeah, but there's a lot of other scriptures you could be focusing on, you know." You see, we don't really want to be challenged. We don't really want to go through the pain and the struggle. We don't really want to be tempered like fine gold. We don't really want to have manure dumped on us so that we can grow and become fruitful. Well, I got to promise you that in the 44 years that I've been preaching, that was the only time anybody has ever confronted me about something I've preached.
All right. Yeah. You need to repent. We've been with you too long, and we know you too long. Just me.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe one or two others. All right, yes. Well, actually, what was it? Father Nick said that here at Church of the Resurrection, we specialize in taking people out of their comfort zone. So that's it. Okay. But, you know, we don't like it. It's unpleasant. We don't really want to go there. But I believe what the Lord is saying to us this morning is, we need to allow ourselves to be challenged. And in whatever way the Lord wants to do that, however the Lord wants to challenge us. But we need to not only not avoid it, but we need to seek the challenge. We need to ask God to bring those times of challenge into our lives so that we can be cleansed and purified and become fruitful and grow. Remember on Ash Wednesday, I was going over the different things that the invitation to a holy Lent calls us to. And what are the first two things? Self-examination and repentance. Self-examination. You can do one of those many different versions of the self-examination. You can use the Beatitudes. You can use the Ten Commandments. You can use St. Augustine's Prayer Book. There are a lot of different ways you can go about that. Or you can actually just sit down quietly and ask God, "Lord, what is it that I really need to have cleansed and purified in my life? What is it that you want to correct that I'm not doing right, or bring into my life that I'm not doing at all that I need to be doing?" Ask God to challenge you. Well, I did that on Friday morning. I was doing my morning office, and I was just like, "Okay, Lord, what is it that I really need to be working on?" And he said, "Gratitude." I'm like, I thought I had an attitude of gratitude. And he said, you need to really work on the Thanksgiving thing. And I began to think, okay, what was it, you know? And then it hit me that, actually, we were talking about that this morning. And over the last four Saturdays, there have been four funerals that I knew about. And then this morning I found out that Amanda went to a funeral yesterday in Boone. So five funerals in 4 weeks. And that was kind of weighing heavy on me. And I didn't realize that I hadn't really thanked God for all of these people. I hadn't really thanked God for all of this that was happening. And so I began to go through, okay, what else is it that I've really neglected thanking God for? And then I started hitting the Psalms. And Psalm 107 was the first one at Matins. And how does it begin? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then it goes on through, and each one, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for men. And then it goes on a little bit later. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds to men, and so forth. And so, you know, I started just giving some thanks there. And then later, when I was doing Lauds, the first psalm in Lauds, or actually the only psalm in Lauds that day, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love endures forever. Give thanks, da, 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 da. So, I kind of got the impression that God was trying to talk to me. And I just said, well, Lord, you know, is there a word, is there something that you really want to say that I need to focus on? And he gave me 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, I didn't know what that was. I had to stop for a minute and think, okay, why am I thinking about 1 Thessalonians? That's not even in the lectionaries. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. I remember one time when I was talking to, he's now Bishop David Epps. At that time he was Father David Epps. We were rooming together at a clergy retreat. And he was saying, you know, there was a time, one time when I was on my way, and I've forgotten where he was on his way to, but anyway, and his car wouldn't start. And so he finally was able to get the car started. And as he was driving along, he came upon this horrible accident on the interstate, and he stopped to give aid, and he asked, you know, when did this happen? And he realized that if his car had started, he would have been there when that accident happened. You know, we don't always give thanks when our car doesn't start or our shoelace breaks, but give thanks in all circumstances, the Lord was showing me. Okay, so that's just one example, okay? But going back to what in the Exodus passage, when was it that God actually spoke to Moses? Moses, he didn't call to Moses out of the bush. He waited until Moses turned to go to the bush before he spoke to him. Are we turning to go to the Lord and asking him to speak to us? He wants us to make that initial move to come to him and say, please show me what needs correction in my life. Show me what I need to get rid of, what I need to bring on. Show me what needs to be transformed, and allow God to minister to you and speak to you. And there are lots of different ways God calls us to repentance, and we need to be alert to those. You know, in a sermon, yeah, I've heard many sermons that have really challenged me. There are sermons that many a bishop have preached over the years, and I'm like, whoa, do I agree with that? Well, allow it to challenge you. Wait a minute, what is it that's convicting me about that? But there are many other ways. And actually, if you're reading the Lenten meditations, when you get to Holy Week, I give you a series of different individuals and how God has called them to repentance. And it comes in a number of different ways. Yeah, through sermons, but also through the Bible, maybe through sickness, through times of spiritual dryness or an event that happens in your life. Allowing these things to challenge us to come before the Lord and say, wait a minute, what is it that I need to discern from this event? And how is that going to minister to me? Lord, show me what I need to understand about what's happening here. And all of these stories, and if you're not reading the Lenten meditations, you can look at them. They're on the website, or you can get on my blog, and they're on the blog as well. But all of these people were willing to be challenged. They were willing to be confronted by the Lord through these events. And so it's something that we all need to be alert to and take those opportunities to allow God to minister to us. All right. Allow him to put a little manure on you. Allow him to dig around a little bit to find out what needs to be rooted out. Okay? But it is time for us, brothers and sisters, to invite God to dig around in our lives and to pour on some manure. And thus, by grace, may our lives be transformed that we may bear abundant fruit. Amen.